Welcome to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Here are your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lull.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. I am your host, Jeff Carrier. He is Seth Lull. We are back for another great episode to talk tight end tiers, getting close to rounding out all our positional tiers for everyone out there. And Seth, it is time. The training camp season has finally started. We're going to actually start seeing some players on the field, and you know, soon enough, there'll be most likely some injuries impacting rankings and, of course, ADPs. But it's exciting to see people on the field and football almost here.
Oh yeah, it's been way too long, and we're back in it. It's 100 degrees out today in New Hampshire, and no better place to be during a 100 degree day than inside in the air conditioning, talking fantasy football. So let's get to it.
All right, so before we get into the tight end tiers, big breaking news on Tyreek Hill. There will be no suspension from the NFL on Tyreek Hill. You know, let's just skip the part on the inconsistency of the NFL and whether or not he should have been suspended or not. That's a different discussion. Let's get to what we're about, fantasy football. Where does Tyreek Hill now slide into your rankings? ADP-wise, not ranking, should I say, where does he slide in ADP-wise on the draft board?
Where am I drafting him?
Yep.
Well, so when we talked yesterday, when the news broke and you asked me, my first reaction was like third round. That's like the first thing I said when we talked about it. And that's before I even looked at any updated ADPs. And it looks like, you know, his ADP is right in the third round, 3.04. And I think that's pretty on target right now. If I'm drafting him today, if the draft is today, I would take him in the third round, right around 3.04. I think that's pretty spot on. Now, if it's pretty quiet on the Tyreek Hill front from now until the beginning of the season, and we're here in late August, and he's on his best behavior, he hasn't gotten into trouble, nothing else is breaking, there's no other evidence that emerges, then I could see taking him in the second round, maybe the end of the second round, middle of the second round. The bottom line is with Tyreek Hill, if this off-the-field stuff never emerged or was never an issue, he's a early second rounder. Like, you know, you could make a case for maybe taking him in the first round, right? I mean, he's that elite. He has that much upside. He's probably the number one fantasy wide receiver if we're just talking football and what he brings, you know, on the field. So the draft's right now, I'm taking him in the third round. But I'm giving, you know, I'm open to moving that up to the second round if nothing else crazy happens between now and August.
I'm going to be a bit more aggressive as we kind of our initial reactions kind of led me to believe. Now, if you're the type of person where you go on and you're looking at the ADP and you see 3.04, all you need to do is look at the chart of he was at 4.03. Let's call it 4.04. And now he's at 3.04. He went up a full round within a day. Well, the law of averages should tell us that he's not getting to 3.04 because people are drafting him at 3.04. People are drafting him above that spot, and that's where his average draft position happens to be landing, or he's skyrocketed in a day. So my guess is he's getting drafted right now in the middle of the second. So if you've seen 3.04 and you're going off of that, you're never going to get him realistically. If you're looking at the second round of the fantasy football draft, I mean, first thing that comes to mind is he easily sides in front of Damian Williams in my eyes. I mean, why am I taking Damian Williams over Tyreek Hill? Can someone walk me through? You're not doing that. So
no, you're not.
So he easily slides in front of that spot as worst case scenario. And then in terms of just a range of outcomes or draft positions, I say he could go as high as above, depending on how you like some of these players. Like, I would take Juju over him, but I would take Tyreek over Odell Beckham. So now we're talking on the fringe of the turn. So my guess is he's all the way that high. to potentially downward Damian Williams. So 1.12 to 2.07 is the range I have him in, and probably closer to the top of that range. I mean, if he didn't get in trouble for what we just all experienced, right? If he didn't get in trouble then he's not going to get suspended during the season. Even if he did something else, he would need some
I'd be more worried about the Kansas City Chiefs potentially suspending him if something else comes up and they face a big, you know, a PR hit and there's backlash and there's pressure put on the Chiefs. Maybe the Chiefs suspend him. You know, I don't know. Or maybe this gets something else happens and this gets to be to the point where there's so much heat on Tyreek Hill that there's a huge distraction and he doesn't perform who knows? I mean, like, if to your point, if you're going to take him in the early second round over some of these players, why not just take him over Julio? I mean, like, either you're hedging against all that other stuff or you're not. And I'm hedging against all that other stuff by taking him in the third round. If you're not doing that, if you're taking him over Odell Beckham, then what you're saying is, I'm not worried about any of that other stuff at all. So at that point, why not just take him in the first round? I think he's a first round player. Like, you could take him over Julio. You could take him definitely over Le'Veon Bell. You know, you could potentially take him over Michael Thomas. I mean, if we're just talking about Tyreek Hill, the fantasy football wide receiver, he's probably a top 8 or 9 pick.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose. I mean, you definitely have a point. I am more on the side of I'm not really paying attention to anything else happening, because also the Kansas City Chiefs allowed him back into the facilities weeks before this announcement. So it seems like everything is kind of getting brushed underneath the rug. Now that we have a solid month until we actually have our draft, I think that we'll get everything we need to know in terms of quote unquote PR. You know, it would take something drastic like a Ray Rice Kareem Hunt video to come out. And I think we've already kind of heard, you know, in audio, the worst that was released. So I suppose you always have that risk with someone with Tyreek Hill's background, but I'm going for more upside there. But anyways, good conversation. He's going to be a very interesting player over these next few weeks. I think without a shadow of a doubt, he's going to be creeping up at least a solid round, if not more, to your point, because of how he did finish last year. He does deserve to be potentially in the conversation of the first wide receiver off the board. And the first wide receiver off the board is typically DeAndre Hopkins at around 6.
Yep.
So, all right, Seth, let's jump into it. Tight ends. Oof. Tough position to pick.
The sexiest position in all fantasy.
Yeah. So this one should be a little bit shorter because there's just not as much, obviously, depth here to talk about. We have a couple of the regulars right at the top that we're familiar with. This is how the top – let's just do top 10. I'm going to say where the top 10 finished out last year, and then you can start off with your tier 1 tight ends. Just in order from 1 to 10 was Travis Kelce, Kittle, Ertz, Ebron, Cook, Burton, Austin Hooper, Njoku, Kyle Rudolph, O.J. Howard. And some of these are obviously, you know, ranking the difference between ranking 13 and 6, for example, was like a total of less than – it was 10 points, so less than 1 point a week. So
there really aren't 10 good tight ends this year. If you're in a 10-team league, there's going to and every team has one tight end. Oh, every team has to start one tight end. There's going to be at least two or three teams that are in a tight end streaming mode starting week one.
Yep. Okay, so tier one for you for tight ends.
Tier one for me is just Travis Kelce and Zach Ertz. I think, you know, clearly Travis Kelce's a little bit ahead of Zach Ertz, but I like them both. You can't go wrong with either one. I would put them in the same tier. And I think it's pretty easy, pretty straightforward. Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz, tier one.
Yep. Now, of course, we're going to follow up all of our tiers with breaking down where they're going ADP-wise. So that's going to be a different discussion. But I did want to clarify that, you know, just because we're saying Zach Ertz is the same tier as Kelce in terms of player and quality and all that stuff, I'm a little hesitant on where Zach Ertz's ADP is, you know, and Kittle's for that matter. But we're going to get to that in a different segment and episode.
Yeah, we're looking at this like as if ADP doesn't matter, value doesn't matter, just who do you, if all things are equal, if you can get him in the same spot, who would you rather have? Okay. I think it's clearly Travis Kelce and Zach Ertz. Do you agree?
Yep, completely agree on that.
Because I think a lot of people are going to say, you know, why do you not have George Kittle in that tier? Because his ADP is 3.09, Zach Ertz 3.06. They're close. George Kittle had more receiving yards last year. He's a little younger. And my thing is, and I have, we'll kind of transition to the second tier. I have George Kittle by himself in tier two. The reason for that is it's just a little bit more uncertainty with George Kittle. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be healthy. We'll see if Jimmy Garoppolo can stay healthy. That offense is on the come up, and George Kittle is obviously going to be a big part of that. He was a big part of their offense last year on a really, really bad team. So I think George Kittle has – you could argue he has a little more upside than Zach Ertz, especially considering, you know, I don't think anybody expects Zach Ertz to have 116 catches again. But I just like the situation with Zach Ertz. I think it's more stable. I think George Kittle could potentially be a little bit more volatile, but I think he's clearly in the second tier by himself. If you miss out on Zach Ertz and Travis Kelce and you end up with George Kittle, you have one of the three best tight ends in fantasy football. And like we saw last year, he's going to be a stud. So George Kittle in tier two all by himself. And after that, I think there's a pretty big drop off.
Yeah, and a lot can be said about the difference between target share percentage when Jimmy Garoppolo was there and when he wasn't. It's actually pretty similar. It was 23% the first 3 weeks with Jimmy Garoppolo, 26% with the rest of the quarterbacks that they had for the remaining of the season, the 49ers. So, you know, there shouldn't be a question in terms of if Jimmy Garoppolo is going to feed Kittle. But I think the bigger question is, can he hold on to his 23% with the influx of new receivers and kind of weapons? You know, so I think he might get a knock there. But I think, like you said, it's close. He's in his own tier. So I agree with that as well.
Lily, a little bit more uncertainty with if he can, you know, keep hold of that target share percentage. But I look at his touchdown, only 5 touchdowns last year. So even if his target share percentage drops off a little bit, and even, you know, we see that receptions, the 88 receptions go down a little bit because of it, he could easily put in 8 to 9 touchdowns, you know, in that. And so I think that could balance out. But yeah, he's in tier two. Tier three, we see a big drop off. And I think this is the spot where, and this is probably a different conversation.
Should we do like an empty tier? Tier three is just empty.
tier three is pretty empty. I think at this point, for me, I would almost be looking to wait. Like, yeah. That's how crazy it is this year. It's really top heavy. You have the three big tight ends, and after that, and actually, you know what? I'll make the one caveat to that is I do really like O.J. Howard, and I think the problem with O.J. Howard is his ADP is 5.07. So everything we love about O.J. Howard is already baked into his ADP, which ADP is not what we're talking about today, so different conversation for a different show. But my tier three is O.J. Howard, Eric Ebron, and Hunter Henry. And Hunter Henry would be at the bottom of that tier. I debated even leaving him out of this third tier. You know, I just decided I'm leaving Hunter Henry out. He doesn't deserve to be in here. O.J. Howard, Eric Ebron. I love O.J. Howard for a lot of the same reasons that I love Chris Godwin, and we've already talked about Chris Godwin a lot. I know he's a trendy player. I love O.J. Howard obviously the Bruce Arians thing, which I didn't want to talk about. Everybody mentions Bruce Arians, the offense should be better. But this is O.J. Howard's third year in the league. This is where tight ends, you know, usually make the step forward to being an actual factor. Now, health is always an issue with O.J. Howard. Hasn't played a full season yet, only played 8 games last year, 14 the previous year in his rookie year. But we're already seeing the touchdowns. He's had 5 or more touchdowns each of his first 2 seasons, you know, 400 or more receiving yards each of his first 2 seasons. I mean, you don't usually see tight ends make an impact at all. It's worse than it is for receivers when they come into the NFL early on. So I like his talent, his size, his athletic ability, love the offense, and no more Adam Humphries, no more DeSean Jackson. I think it's going to be a big year throwing the ball for Tampa Bay. They led the NFL last year in pass attempts. They're going to throw the ball a ton. So I like O.J. Howard. I don't love his ADP, but again, we're doing tiers, and I think that he is clearly hands down the fourth best tight end. Big drop off from George Kittle to O.J. Howard, but I think O.J. Howard presents a good balance at this point of he's going to be fairly safe relative to the other tight ends that are in this grouping, and he has the most upside out of anybody else from this point on.
Yeah, I think the one that in terms of in this tier that I disagree with is Eric Ebron. I just don't like how they brought in Devin Funchess, who I feel like is a fairly similar player to Eric Ebron. Even more weapons with Paris Campbell and et cetera. Maybe a healthy Marlon Mack. I think it's just a more of a – I don't like Ebron repeating his numbers. And I would probably throw Evan Engram in the same tier as Howard. Yeah. So you didn't like – you don't like Evan Engram obviously as much as Howard or even Ebron.
No. And Eric Ebron, I agree with you on a lot of the points you made about Ebron. But Ebron's a great example of for ADP, I don't love him, and he probably won't be on a lot of my teams because 6.12 is too pricey for Eric Ebron. At the same point, though, if we're just ranking these tight ends on you know how they are as fantasy players without ADPs entering into the equation, Eric Ebron's number four. I mean, I think you could expect his touchdowns to come down a little bit because of what you mentioned with the addition of Funchess and maybe Paris Campbell and Marlon Mack being healthy. But bottom line, Indy's going to have a really good offense. And Andrew Luck is very efficient in the red zone. There are going to be a lot of touchdowns up for grabs. Eric Ebron had 13 touchdowns. I think he can still get 10. So we're talking about a starting tight end with Andrew Luck on the Indianapolis Colts getting potentially 10 touchdowns, going to be in the 700 to 800 receiving yards, 60. I just think those are solid, safe numbers to expect from Eric Ebron, even if he comes down a little bit on his production from last year. And that's why I'm taking him over Evan Engram. You know, in terms of tiers, I like him more than Evan Engram. I love him more than Hunter Henry and so on.
Okay. And so that wraps up tier three with O.J. Howard and Eric Ebron. Heading into tier four, is this where we have Evan Engram and Hunter Henry and anyone else? Or how's your tier four look?
Just those two. I after that, we're, you know, I don't know what we're going to do for tiers. It's like everybody else. At that point, it's like I'm waiting. I might wait to grab TJ Hawkinson a few rounds later. I have Hunter Henry and Evan Engram, two, you know, pure wide receiver, tight end threats, if you will. I don't love, you know, we'll start with Hunter Henry. I mean, first of all, he's really had a hard time staying healthy. He missed all of last season, right? And we've seen stuff from Hunter Henry in spurts, right? And he's very, his touchdown numbers were really high his rookie year with 8 touchdowns. If he gets the snaps, he is going to be, you know, his upside is great if he can get the volume, if he can get the snaps, if he can get the targets. We just haven't seen it to this point in San Diego or Los Angeles, if you will. So I like him more than Evan Engram because I like his upside a little bit more than Evan Engram. I like the Chargers offense better than the Giants offense, obviously. But I think these two are very, you know, I think the variance is greater with these two, especially Hunter Henry. I think he's got more boom bust potential. We've seen, you know, him have weeks where he gets 2 touchdowns. So we've seen him have weeks where he basically puts up a zero bomb.
Yeah, sometimes I just don't understand these ADPs. I mean, are people literally only swinging for the fences and just completely content with just whiffing? I mean, Hunter Henry missed all of 2018, right? Didn't do anything. The previous years, he was a nice player, but not a great player because Philip Rivers, like some of the elite quarterbacks, passes the ball around so much. So he was a nice player. He wasn't Kelsey or Gronk any of his first 2 seasons. So he misses an entire year and somehow is still getting drafted early 6th round right now in a 12-team league. I don't understand the ADP. Now, in terms of a caliber of player, is he above just about everyone else as he should be in this last tier that you have? Yeah, I agree because, you know, his upside is higher. But that doesn't mean he should be going in the 6th round. Again, another discussion for a different day. His pedigree in that team, you know, he's got some upside there for sure. And he'll be heading into his, I don't know, I guess technically his fourth year or, you know, his third playing year. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think this rounds out my tiers, because Hunter Henry and Evan Ingram, to me, while I don't love either one of them, I think you can look at each of them and say, okay, I have my starting tight end. Granted, it'll probably be the weakness on my team. It might be my worst starter, but I have a starting caliber tight end that I'm at least going to just start every single week because they have upside. After that, it's pretty much you're streaming tight ends, you're drafting multiple tight ends, and you know, playing it by committee. So I don't know what you want to do for the next tiers. I mean, first, is there anybody else that I left out that you would include in this tier?
I would probably include in that tier. I wouldn't take him before. I don't know if I wouldn't necessarily put him in his own tier. I guess I just lump him in as the quote unquote tier before the streaming tier, as we'll call it. It's probably Jared Cook, because he had a pretty good year last year. And with New Orleans, I feel like he'll fit that category that you just kind of described. And that is, I've got a starter. On most weeks, not every week's going to be great, but on most weeks, assuming health, you know, I can just plug him in there and I think he'll have a decent day. So I think I'd throw Jared Cook in there and in that tier with Evan Ingram.
My only problem with Jared Cook is the Saints really have not used tight ends since they had Jimmy Graham. And is that a product of them not really having a good tight end, or is that just they get a lot of rushing touchdowns with Alvin Kamara, even though there's no Mark Ingram here? You have Michael Thomas, who's an absolute beast, and they just spread the ball around so much. But at this point in the draft, yeah, I think I still look at him as a starter. I think he's kind of lumped in. Like I like Jared Cook, David Njoku, potentially Austin Hooper in this range, and T.J. Hockenson. Those would be my grouping of players that might fall into the next tier. But I'm not going out of my way to grab any of those players.
Yeah,
but I would consider them, with the exception of maybe T.J. Hockenson. I don't know if you're going to start him week one, but I think at least second half of the season you should be in a position to maybe, you know, feel like you can start him.
Yeah, no, and I agree. That's why I was like, he's kind of behind the other two, but kind of fits a category that might deserve its own tier. So maybe Cook, Njoku, Hockenson, Hooper might have their own semi tier in front of the streamers that you. But to your point, you're definitely not going out of your way for any of these people.
No, and I think we always see the drop-off in tight ends pretty quickly every year where you're like, okay, I'm not really going on my way to get the next best tight end because he doesn't excite me. I'm just going to wait till the very end, similar to what people do with quarterbacks in one quarterback leagues. And I think this year that just starts even earlier, and maybe it's partly is not having Gronk. You take Gronk out. You know, players like Jimmy Graham are no longer a factor. Jordan Reed is now, we're completely writing him off. So the tight end position is shallower. You know, Kyle Rudolph is another one who's lower, who's just kind of fallen off the face of the earth for fantasy. And I think after Kelce, Ertz, Kittle, and maybe Howard, you know, I could maybe talk myself into taking him in the sixth or seventh round, but the fifth round is too early. After that, I'm just like, you know, we're overpaying for some of these mediocre tight ends like Evan Ingram, Hunter Henry, Eric Ebron, even Jared Cook in the seventh round. Jared Cook in the seventh round is crazy. That's crazy town, right?
Crazy town. I mean, again, I just said the difference between 6 and 13 was like, what, 10 points for the entire year. And I guarantee at least 50, 75% of those tight ends were just streamers, basically, for the most part. So to your point, all right, Seth, that's going to wrap up our tight ends. We're going to be back for our quarterback tiers, and we're going deep, real deep. Seth and I are big 2QB fans, so we're going to be doing all 30 QBs in tiers. That's right. So we're the NFL Talking Heads, and thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Try saying that three times fast. With your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lull. We'll catch you next time.